Psalm 25. Okay, we'll go ahead and read the whole thing. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have ever been, or have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to understand this passage. I pray you'd help us to understand how we can apply many things here spiritually. Help us to briefly grasp the doctrine of the psalm. But yet, Lord, I do pray that this might be a help for each of us at the time when we desperately need it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you can see when you read through the psalm that there are some verses that are directly, doctrinally aimed at a Jew in the tribulation time period. You see that the Jewish makeup is in the last verse itself. Redeem Israel, O God, out of his troubles. The tribulation is known as Jacob's trouble. It's never called the church's trouble. It's always called Jacob's trouble. Okay, and so a person understands that, but there are a lot of good things out of here that you can apply. Basically, the idea this morning is, what do you do when you don't know what to do? The longer you live this life, you're going to get yourself in a situation where you may not know the right way to go. You don't know what to do. You could probably go both paths. Sometimes the spiritual thing to do is pray about it and flip a coin. I don't sound spiritual, but that is spiritual. If you're not going to play the best 2 out of 3 or the best 3 out of 5, trying to get yours, or like Lindsay and I flipped a coin the other day, was trying to decide something and it landed on its side. We didn't plan for that one. Okay, it landed right against my pant leg and it's right on the edge. You know, that wasn't in the deal. Okay, but still, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Okay, some people will call some areas in life that are gray areas. You're not sure of the right or wrong, and maybe that's true in some areas. But sometimes you're going to face some things where you're not certain exactly what you should do. There are many areas in life that are difficult to discern the proper path. The future of this nation, if you see what's going on, the future of this nation is very uncertain. The churches, the spiritual blindness in the church is obvious. I mean, it's pathetic. Okay, if you start talking to people, about the Bible or the church or beliefs in the church, you will find that the vast majority of Christians are pathetic in their Bible knowledge. Okay, that's obvious. Okay, I had a guy last Wednesday kept telling me he's not going to go to church because they don't have church on Saturday. And your guy is dying of, kidney dialysis and all this stuff, and he's telling me nobody goes to church on Saturday. And I just looked at him and I said, nobody in the Bible went to church on Saturday. I said, you're not going to find one person in the Bible went to church on Saturday. He said, what do you mean? I said, they went to a synagogue, a Jewish temple. There's a difference. You see, and so that was something he's going to hang his hat on. But I had to agree with him. I said, the churches aren't a mess. They're pathetic. That's obvious. You just talk to people. Get out in the street, start talking to them. The future of this country is very uncertain. Financial bankruptcy is imminent. In fact, a congressman out of Ohio said back in the 1970s that America is the biggest debtor nation, and Congress is operating under bankruptcy. You know what they did to that guy? Threw him in jail. Some at the top didn't like what he said. It's on the record. You see, bankruptcy is imminent. As far as the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac stuff, that's just the tip of the iceberg. The economic forecast for this country is not good. If you study history, you'll see this. Political tyranny is planned. It's prevalent. It's in the making. It's on the books. They're not hiding these things. The New World Order is not hiding anything. It's all right out in front. Now, obviously, thank God we got a Bible, and thank God that you can trust in God, and God could mess up any of their plans. That's his choice. But there's going to be, if things keep going the way they're going, if God allows it to go down that road, then everybody's going to be facing a situation where you're not sure what you should do. What do you do when you don't know what to do? If you study history, world history, and if you study Bible prophecy, when a nation allows sodomy to be promoted and accepted as it is, every nation goes down the tube. Rome, Herod, Herod's probably as queer as a $3 bill as part of the crucifixion that day. Okay, if you look at Greece, if you look at the world empires, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome. Greece, Socrates, Plato, sodomites. Why do they go down in tubes? You read Ezekiel chapter 16, you'll see what goes on in a nation when sodomy is accepted. I mean, this now isn't limited to the inner cities. Now you're seeing this in the farm communities. You go down to Purdue and you'll see them walking hand in hand down the street. I mean, it's just right out there and open. They're flaunting it right in your face and they're rubbing it right in your face. If you're straight, come out of the closet and let people know that you're straight. Don't be ashamed of anything about that stuff. I mean, they've got travel websites for the gay agenda. I mean, Disney World has a whole week for that crowd. I mean, they're rubbing it right in our face, and when a nation does that, they don't get away with that. I mean, sexual perversion is flooding the church, not just the Catholic church. I mean, they admit, the ones that are honest, that the 60% of the priests are sodomites. It's not just the Catholic church. You look at the Protestant, and sexual perversion is flooding through the Protestant churches. Apostasy reeks in the Christian colleges. Anarchy is prevalent in the government. I mean, it's obvious. Who cares about their oath of office? They don't care. Apathy grips the young people. I mean, it's just got a hold on them. They just don't care. I came from a monkey. I'm going back. I'm living like a monkey. And it doesn't matter what you believe or what I believe. It just doesn't matter. I mean, so what do you do when you don't know what to do about certain situations? If you would, hold your finger in Psalm 25. We'll eventually come back to it off and on. But look, if you would, in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. First Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. I mean, a few might remember some of the events of the Great Depression where they had bank runs. You know, you saw stuff probably, if you read about it in the news about last week. Hey, that's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, the Fed admits that the whole monetary system in America is based on confidence. What do you do when you lose the confidence? And a lot of people are losing it. They're starting to realize this, and of course, it's not going to go on forever, but look, if you would, in 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32. This is one particular group of David's mighty men, one particular tribe. And verse 32, it says, "And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment." Now there's a group of people that could understand the times that they were living in, and they knew what their nation should do. Does the leadership in this country know what they should do? The vast majority do not. I mean, whatever issue, if you want to talk about oil, it's not hard to figure out. You know, first off, unplug the wells that got up in Alaska. Secondly, trade them a bushel of wheat for a barrel of oil. Nothing difficult about that. You say you can't do that. We control it. We got the food. We control it. But somebody doesn't want to control it. You see? If you look at the economic thing, nothing difficult about that. The Bible's got all the answers, but the guys in D.C. don't want to do anything about it. You see? And see, I tell you, as far as this country goes, you know, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Because if it, Lord willing, it may go that route. You just don't know what's going to happen. God's in control. Now, as far as Christian's life, the directive will of God is quite obvious. Read your Bible. You find out what does God expect a Christian to do, and that is to live a holy life and a just life. That's obvious from Paul's writings. The directive will of God is a no-brainer. Do right. Okay, but what do you do about areas where you're not certain exactly what to do that's right to do in a certain given area? In 1 Chronicles 12, these men knew what to do. They understood the times. They knew what to do, okay, and they knew what Israel ought to do. So I'm going to give you three thoughts coming out of Psalm 25. But first off, go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. These are two famous verses. Some folks will have these as life verses. And the first thought, I'll just give you three quick thoughts about this. Okay, the first thought is found in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Very clear verses. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding." But notice the wording, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Okay, the first thought is realize that every area of the believer's life is vital to God. Not just the major areas, every area. There is no division in the Christian's life between the sacred and the secular. None whatsoever. A lot of times you hear people talking about, well, he's doing secular work. No, if he's a believer, that work is sacred work. Unless he's serving in a bar, you know, it might be a little bit different, okay? But whatever job that's legitimate under the directive will of God, that job, whatever it is not secular for the believer. Every area of the believer's life is sacred. Every single area. Why? Because you witness on the job while you're doing the good work. When you're given good 8 hours pay for 8 hours work, or 8 hours work for 8 hours pay, or whatever your company requires of you, when you're doing that, you're being a testimony to the ones over you. And then on your break, when you can open up your mouth and actually witness for Christ, okay, that's when you do it. You don't witness on the job, unless obviously it's allowed in your job. Each work's different. Okay, and a person just does what the boss wants them to do, that's fine. But realize in every area of your life is vital to God. Every single area. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Now that phrase is a very interesting phrase. If you back up, look in Psalms 91, verse 11 and 12. Psalm 91. If you read through the Bible a few times, these verses might ring a bell with you. Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12. And if you read through the Gospels in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, these verses might ring a bell with you, where it says in Psalm 91, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." Now, does those verses ring a bell when you go back and read about the temptations of Jesus Christ by Satan himself? When he misquoted these two verses? In Luke chapter 4, these two verses are misquoted by Satan. So now we see a satanic translation. What did he remove? He removed that little phrase at the end of verse 11, "in all thy ways." When you go back in Luke chapter 4 and Satan quotes these verses, he removes that phrase, "in all thy ways." "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." When Satan misquoted that to Jesus Christ, he is trying to let you and I know, okay, you can go to God for the big things in life, but you don't need to worry him. You don't need to bother him with the little areas of your life. You know, why would you want to bother God about the little areas of life? He's got too much going on. You know, he's too busy worrying about the big stuff. You don't need to pester God with the little areas of your life. You can handle those things, so don't bother God. No, every area of your life is vital with God. A lot of times people think it's a small decision. I don't need to go to God on those things. I don't need to follow that. You know, I can just figure that out. Well, if it's along the lines of the scriptures, fine, go along with it. But it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. That's what Solomon said. When you see somebody makes a big whopping mistake in their Christian life, or a big whopping sin, or something to really drop the big one and everything, but they've done the big wrong because they have done a bunch of little wrongs along the way. A person just doesn't get up and say, "Well, I'm going to do this today." They've been making long decisions, long, small decisions. "Oh, I don't got time to read my Bible today. Oh, I don't got time to fellowship with God today. You know, I can do it tomorrow. Oh, I can, and tomorrow comes, I just got too much going on, you know, so I just," and you put that off, and you put your personal time with God off, and you put it off, and you put it off, and those little decisions, then all of a sudden, things start creeping in your life that you didn't expect to happen. Paul said, "In my flesh dwelleth no good thing." In my flesh capability, what I am capable to do in this body, in this flesh, is found in Galatians chapter 5. What is found there? "The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, witchcraft." And you go through that list, that's in your capability, that's in my capability. And when a person takes these little decisions lightly, and they say these little decisions are taken lightly, and then they go on their life, someday they're going to make a big decision that's going to be right out of the will of God, doing the wrong thing. Realize that every area of your life is vital to God. Abraham's small decision of listening to Hagar about going in, or listening to Sarah about going into Hagar, is the seed that has been sprouted today to be the Middle East crisis. That small decision, which was an acceptable lifestyle of that day, where you can have a bunch of wives, you can go into your wife's servant, you know, and get a child through proxy, through your wife's servant, and that decision is the big mess that you and I see in the news almost every single day. Now, granted, I understand that your small decision is not going to cause a Middle East crisis someday. My decisions, you know, I mess up now, is not going to develop into the Indiana, Northwest Indiana crisis someday. I understand that. I'm not an Abraham. But your small decisions become big down the road that affect your family. Those small weeds in your garden, about this time of the year, about yay tall. Okay, and so realize that every area of the believer's life is vital to God. The second thought, back in Psalm 25, is seek the Lord's guidance through prayer in every area of life, and especially when you just really don't know what to do, get a hold of God. Psalm 25, verse 1. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. When you read Psalm 119, the largest psalm in the Bible, which is the heart of the Bible, it's not directly in the center of the Bible, as your heart is not directly in the center of your body. When you read Psalm 119, on the average, every single verse is dealing with the Word of God. It will call it the statutes, it calls it the precepts, it calls it the testimony, sometimes the Word itself. It's got about 8 to 10 different words for the Bible itself in Psalm 119. On the average, it's one per each verse, 176 verses, broken up in 8 verses per category, 22 categories, and it runs down where you'll have a little Hebrew letter between each one. Forget the Hebrew letter, read the English. And when you read that English, you will find over and over and over, it will say, teach me thy statutes. Make me to go in the way of thy law. Teach me thy statutes is repeated over and over. Help me to understand thy precepts. Over and over and over, it's asking the author of the Bible to explain it to you. In other words, seek the Lord's guidance through prayer. If you would, go back to Numbers chapter 9. There was an issue that came up back here in Numbers chapter 9 some men in Israel had a problem. The directive will of God in Numbers chapter 9 is clearly written out in the first 5 verses. It's dealing with the Passover, the Jewish holiday, the Passover, where they had that lamb, the sacrificial lamb, and then they ate that lamb on the 14th day of the first month. Well, a problem came up. It was very clear that the direct will of God is eat that lamb on the 14th day of the first month. Nothing difficult about that. Except the problem came up with some fellas. In verse 9 or 6, and there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man, and they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day. And those men said unto him, we are defiled by the dead body of a man. Wherefore are we kept back that we may not offer an offering of the Lord in his appointed season among the children of Israel? So they said, we don't know what to do. We want to do the right thing. We cannot do the right thing on this day because of that dead body. We'd be violating the Passover. We don't know what to do. So what did they do? They went to Moses. And then Moses told them in verse 8, and Moses said unto them, stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. Oh, what do you do? Go to the one in charge. Go to the top dog, as they say. Dog spelled backwards is God. Go to him directly. Seek the Lord's guidance through prayer. Now, in this case, God answered them, told them what to do. Okay, now what do? In this case, you keep the Passover on the 14th day of the second month. Okay, what do when you don't know what to do? Go to God and find out. Ask the Lord about every issue. Now, the catch on this, though, is the answer will come based upon the condition of your heart. You say, well, God will tell me the truth. You read the God of this Bible. God will give you the answer based upon the condition of your heart. If your heart wants to deceive itself or to prop itself up, God will answer you according to that. The authority for this is Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 9. And that verse says, if a prophet be deceived, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. You see, a lot of times people feign approach coming to God. I want to know what God says. When they find out what he says, they don't like it. They have an idea. Well, I want to go to God. Balaam pulled this thing. The directive will of God to Balaam was, okay, Balaam, don't go. Two, those people are blessed. Three, don't curse them. 3-point outline. So that was the directed will of God. Nothing difficult about that. Well, they came back a second time and he says, oh, I can't go with you. He only told them 1 point. Then they said, well, they offered up the inn. He offered them a little bit more money. Come, we need you to curse him. Oh, okay, I'll go back to God and ask. Second time he goes back to God. God said, okay, pal, if they call you in the morning, then you can go. And then you find out he went, and God was mad at him. Why? They didn't call him. They didn't call him that morning. He went on his own accord. You see? And that's what happens when a person wants to do what they want to do. This is how God deals with a man. Proverbs 14, verse 14 says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. When a person approaches God trying to figure out if God is as smart and as spiritual as he is or she is, then God will let them think it. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And the next verse says, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When a man approaches God, he best approach God with the right heart's motive. If you would go back to Psalms 25. Now, who is God going to reveal the truth to? Psalms 25. Is he going to reveal it to a proud man? Even on the day of the crucifixion, when Herod came to Jesus to try to see some miracle, Jesus Christ didn't say a word to the clown. He does not give evidence to a dishonest skeptic. God does not give evidence to people who want to prop up their own self-righteousness. God gives the truth to somebody who desires the truth. Psalms 25, if you run down through there, you'll see, pick up about verse 9. Who does he reveal the truth to? The meek. Will he guide in judgment? And the meek, will he teach his way? All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. People who are willing to do what they're told. Verse 12, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way, that shall he choose. 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. If you approach God trying to find out what to do when you don't know what to do, your heart better be a heart of sincerity, a mind of humility, an attitude of humility, a desire of meekness to fulfill the will of God, because you're afraid, you fear God. When your heart is a heart of pride, when you want to find out if God agrees with you, he will let you fool yourself. He'll let you deceive yourself. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. A lot of people, they think, well, they want to learn Revelation because they think it's cool. You know, Revelation is probably the most difficult book for people who are of a prideful spirit that want to find out their own way. But if you have a desire to learn the truth about Revelation, it is one of the easiest books in the Bible to teach. if you believe what it says. Now, when you approach your God, don't be surprised, or you may be surprised, with the answer he gives you. It might be direct contrary to what you think. If you would go back to the story in Joshua chapter 7. If you remember this story in Joshua chapter 7, the children of Israel won the battle with Jericho. That was an easy one, piece of cake. So then they're going to go to the second battlefield, Ai. And the officer said to Joshua, we don't need to send everybody. We just need to send a few of them over there. That'd be a piece of cake. They go over to Ai, and they get their tails kicked in. I mean, they get 30-some men get killed. They lose the battle. Joshua's up in the air. What am I going to do about this? Joshua chapter 7. You read through here, verse 6 in Joshua chapter 7. He rents his clothes. He tears them off. He's trying to approach God. He, man, what do we do now? He don't know what to do. Joshua 7, verse 6, you can see that. Verse 7, he cries out to the Lord. And verse 10, God says, get up. Get up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? It's not time to pray. It's time to confess. Forget your praying now, Joshua. You need to get some confession going on. You got a guy in there that sinned. You got a thief in there. He stole my money. And so verse 11, they sinned. Verse 12, they sinned. Verse 13, he said, you better straighten up your act, people. You see, the answer was direct different than what he thought. You see, and when you ask God, and when you really desire the truth from God, you might be surprised with the answer. A lot of times people will say, well, what's wrong with? And fill in the blank. What's wrong with? Most of the time when they ask that question, they know what's wrong with. But on occasion, it is kind of tough for some. Okay? And there are some issues that are tough to figure out what's wrong with some things. Okay? Okay, and so, you know, you just ask the Lord on that one. Ask the Lord to. There's been some issues I've been asked about. What's wrong with such and such? You don't do that. What's wrong with that? You know, and there's sometimes I don't got a clear answer for that. But you ask God about it. Get it from Him. Find out. You see? You get to ask God about that issue, but be willing to take the issue. Be willing to take the answer. Okay, so the second area, seek the Lord's guidance through prayer. The third one is back into Psalms 27, and this is the one that really goes against our flesh. What do you do when you don't know what to do? Psalms 27, 14. And we read it through several times in Psalm 25, and it says, wait. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now that goes direct contrary to our flesh. We don't like that idea. What do you do when you don't know what to do? Well, you do something. Well, if you just do something, what if you're doing the wrong thing? Wait on God. He's in control. You trusted Him for the salvation of your soul? You think He's not concerned about your life? You say, yeah, but it may be some bad times. Hey, you know, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you? What if Christians endured in the past? American Christianity has been spoiled, haven't we? Okay, whatever glorifies God. God has received glory from the death of His saints in the past. You see, He received glory when His Son was crucified on Calvary. And He didn't deserve that. But the idea is wait on God. Wait for clear direction from the Lord. The book of Esther, one of two books in the Bible named after women. This book, the scholars in the schools tell you that it shouldn't be in the canon of the scriptures. Why? The word Lord and the word God isn't found in it. So it's, you know, questionable if it should be in the Bible. Esther, the book of Esther, shows you how God works behind the scenes more than any book in the Bible. And what happened? What did Esther do when she didn't know what to do? Esther chapter 4, she cried out to God. She prayed and fasted. And God eventually gave them the answer. Wasn't right up front, but God eventually gave him an answer. He did give her an answer real quick about going in to see the king, but he gave the answer, and the answer came through Mordecai. You see, but the answer's there. The idea is wait on God. Wait patiently for the Lord's direction. If you would, look in Isaiah 26. Many of these passages in the Old Testament, many of these passages I'm using right now are technically they're tribulation passages. Like the book of James itself, written to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. When he told them, my brethren, Jewish brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Well, Isaiah 26 is very similar, but notice in verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Verse 5 and 6, you can see that is aimed at the Jewish people in the tribulation. You say, how do you know that? Poor and needy, verse 6. Poor and needy, that goes with the judgment of the nations in Matthew 25. That goes with James chapter 2. Because when you read the book of James, every rich person in the book of James is going to hell. Every single one of them. They're damned in James. Why? It's written about the last days. The only way to get rich in the last days or the tribulation time period, take the mark of the beast or the number of his name, and that's what damns them to hell. You see? The person can have wealth in the church age, 1 Timothy chapter 6, but not in the tribulation. That's forbidden in the tribulation. The poor and needy get taken advantage of in the tribulation. Now, verse 7, the way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul, the plural pronoun, again, doctrinally aimed at Jewish tribulations, or Israel, the nation of Israel, as in our Father, which art in heaven. Israel corporately, but still, the basic truth is, have we waited for thee? The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. What do you do when you don't know what to do? Wait. Wait in the clear direction of God. Now, any of us knows, any of us parents knows, and especially the grandparents know this, and when you take your kids down to Turkey Run, what are the little ones doing? They take off running down the path. They take off running down the trail as far as they can till you're almost out of sight. And what are we older folks doing? Wait up! Wait up! And they go so far down to where they get to the point where they don't know which way to go. They don't know what to do. What do? Wait. Should they keep going? No, they'll get lost. They wait. And so here we come plodding along, get up to them. And what happens when we get up to them? We point the direction to go, and there they go again. They take off. Now, is that not often how you and I are with God Himself? If we're a child of God, what do? We take off down this earthly path, then we get ourselves, and we don't know which way to go. What do? Sit there and wait. Wait on God. And when He moseys down the path, ask him what to do, and he points that direction, then take off, and then wait for him again. Okay, that's just human nature, and that's just the way it is. Now, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, it says, this the way things go, it says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So the thing to do is, when you don't know what to do, well, realize that God wants you to come to Him in every issue of life. Seek that God in prayer. And in that process of seeking that God through prayer, do your part in studying what this book says. Search this book And search and search and search until you find the answer. And you wait on God to reveal that answer to you, and you keep waiting on God until He gives you the truth you need to know to go the direction you should go. These are some things, thoughts you should do. When you don't know what to do, what do? Go to God in prayer and find out. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray You'd help us to realize, as children of Thee, as little children, I pray You'd help us to wait on Thee. And Lord, I pray that some that have certain issues in life, that they're not certain what to do, they're not certain of right and wrong, I pray that they would take it to Thee. Yes, they can go to others and ask for guidance. But often, Lord, we got to get it direct from Thee. And I pray that You would reveal Yourself in whatever the issue is. And help us to when we come to Thee, help us to come with a heart that's sincere, a heart that's honest, a mind that's humble, a spirit that is willing. And Lord, I just pray You'd help us to approach You in the right fashion. Come to You with fear and trembling, wanting to know the truth, wanting to know the path we are to follow, wanting to know what we should do. I pray You'd help us to approach Thee properly. Well, heads bowed and eyes are closed. What do you do when you don't know what to do? Well, first seek God in every area of your life. And then go to Him. Ask Him for insight. Ask Him for light. Ask Him for guidance. And do your part in studying the Word. Study in truth. Researching things. And then wait for God to give the answer. The instruments plays. If you need, the altar is open for you.